Good morning, church. Wow, four of you. It's a delight to be invited once again to break the word of God to us. And Happy New Year. Can you believe it's 2018? I've already messed up two checks by writing 2017 and forgot to change the year. Has that happened to anyone here? Yeah, already. I used to enjoy walking around our home and trying to change the calendars. And even now, although everything is digitalized and automatic in change, we still have a family calendar where each member of the family has to go physically and write in that. If not, my wife gets very upset. So everybody knows what someone, you know, the party, who's coming to the house. I had to tell my daughters at one stage, every weekend is not a sleepover. You know, I mean, you can't just write every Saturday, you know, my friends are coming. Changes take place. Clocks, you know, I still have these watches at Bing Bing, you know, and I'm like, is it 30 days or 31? And sometimes I miss up. I was once in a church that here in America, the time zone shifts, or even, you know, you fall back and spring forward. I've actually been to a church where I've ended up 1 hour late for the service. And, you know, change. It's inevitable. In fact, change, they say, is the only constant. I used to say time flies. Now I say time disappears. I don't know where it went and what happened. This morning for our message, I'd like to speak to you about changing times and calendars, but an unchanging Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 48. I've got to get the clicker here. Psalm 48. This is our psalm of meditation this morning. And I'm Chris Nyanakin, and the first service introduced me. Most of you, how many of you have seen or heard me before? All right. How many of you have seen or not heard me before? Okay. How many of you wish you never hear me again? No. I want to talk to us about change and talk about change in times of crisis and how we need something that's constant. There's several things that changes. I'm going to read the psalm, but there are several things that change and we need to be aware of it. It's not just the calendars or the clocks that we need to change. I'm finding that there are a lot of circumstances that change each year. If you look at New Year resolutions that people make, and there are a whole bunch of lists that show you different resolutions, I guarantee you the top three in most of the lists has to do with health, wealth, and happiness. Think about it. Most people make resolutions regarding their well-being. You know, I want to be more healthy and more strong, lose some amount of weight. Someone told me, you know, I've lost so much weight. I said, don't worry, I found it. You know, I mean, people make all these resolutions all the time, not only about health, but about wealth. I need to prosper. I need to have that job breakthrough. I need another position, power, prestige, goals. Then there's a third area about happiness and essentially in relationships. People make a lot of decisions, you know, from now, I'm going to cultivate this habit or relationship, goals. But all said and done, there's not only circumstances that change, people change. I took some time off, a week or two, which I haven't done actually, just to spend some time with myself and with my family. Most of you know I traveled about 10 or 11 countries with restricted access, and now with liberty, I find that during holidays and summers is the main times when I travel to these countries. And with my wife reflecting, I realized people change. You know, I've had friends. I had, for example, 5 years ago, two people who were my mentors. And Dorothy remembers almost every day I will talk to one of my Barnabases, you know, regularly. She said, Chris, when was the last time you called and talked to him? I mean, have you wish him Christmas? And I realized my relationship has changed. I have new friends, old are gone. People change. People once were happy with you, and now they're not happy with us. And you wonder how fickle change can be. But you know what else changes? We change. Sometimes I've been with people whose doctrinal dogma has changed, loosened a little bit. Some have tightened it. I've been with people who once realized that they're going to do this and they never do, and then they change. People change. It was Advent, and I was realizing the four stages I have changed regarding Santa Claus. You know, there was a stage in my life I actually believed there was a Santa Claus. And I remember the British were there in South India, and I remember the jolly fat man, and I was like, yeah, you know, Santa Claus is coming. And, you know, I used to wait for that stuff when I was a kid. Then my second stage was I grew intellectually, and apart from St. Nicholas and Nicaea, I knew there was no Santa Claus. You remember that stage when you came to a point and you grew and you said there was a Santa Claus? Now there is no Santa Claus. The third stage I clearly remember, my kids growing up, I acted as Santa Claus. I was Santa Claus. You know, I hide those things. Mom would say, oh, what's he come? Boo, oh, ho, ho. You know, you acted like Santa Claus. I'm in the fourth stage now. I look like Santa Claus, you know? And things are changing. And you can't deal with this. There's so much of change that's taking place. This morning, all I want to do is to encourage us as a church, to encourage our hearts as individual. Here's my thesis, my bottom line. We live in times of uncertainty and deep insecurity. Our desperate need is not just for clarity, but confidence in a reality that does not change. We need a sure anchor for our hope. In changing times, we need to, particularly this time of the year, hear afresh Malachi 3 and verse 6, Yahweh declaring, I am the Lord, I change not. We need to hear the voice of Jesus by his Spirit saying, listen, be bold, be courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what happens in any relationship, I am with you always, particularly when it comes to our mission. So let me read Psalm 48 and share with you a message I've entitled, Changing Clocks and Calendars, but an unchanging Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A sure anchor and hope for eternity. Do you know him? Well, Psalm 48, let me read that psalm. It has been delightful for me actually to dwell in the Psalms this last month. And the last five times I've preached, I've always preached on one of those psalms that I've meditated on. And this is one of the psalms I felt was appropriate. So when Pastor Nathan said, hey, listen, can you start off the year? And I said, well, I'll share something about an unchanging Christ. And even before I read this, let me say that, I mean, I was telling my daughters, I said, you know, when Dada dies, I want you to sing one song and put one verse on my epitaph. I want you to put on my epitaph that verse that I claimed, that I can be bold and confident because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in death. I want you to sing one of my favorite songs on my funeral. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I said, make sure you sing that when Dada dies. Because in changing times, you need to pass on your faith and say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. A lot of things happened in my journey, but that was my steadfast hope. My goal at the end of this 30, 40 minutes is that each of us walk out of here having Christ as our unchanging, steadfast hope, not just for 2018, but in the days and years to come. Psalm 48 is one of the psalms that the sons of Korah put together to exhort the people of Israel to worship God. But actually, Psalm 48 celebrates Zion, the city of our God, Jerusalem. And it's a kind of a comical, almost mockery when you think of it today, and the Dome of the Rock and what's happening with three nations literally killing each other in the city of peace, Jerusalem. So what is this psalm about? I see three subtle shifts in the way that the psalm unfolds, and see if you can pick it up as I share this psalm with you. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and most greatly to be praised. Great. I want to talk about the greatness of God. This word, gadol in Hebrew, gadol literally means not just massive. Yes, there is an enormity to the greatness of God. But beyond the massness, there is something that's magnificent about this God. And what the psalmist wants us to see beyond that is the fact that this God is just marvelous. Don't lose the wonder of who we worship. And that can happen year after year. We lose that wonder, the awesomeness of our God. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. What's some of the reasons he's to be praised? Notice some of his attributes. Why is he to be praised? Because he's worthy. In the city of our God, verse 1, in his holy mountain, his holiness. And then it moves from truth to aesthetics. And it goes, beautiful for its elevation. The joy, the delight of the whole world is what? Mount Zion, the city of our great King. Notice the greatness of our God is punctuated, but also it's an opening celebration. God is in her, and now he begins to describe the city with all its fortifications, is in his citadels. Did you see that, verse 3? He has actually shown himself, manifested. He has revealed himself to them. Yeah. To be the city's fortress, strength. When the kings join forces, there's the enemies that come to Israel, and you know the map, and Palestine, and whether it's the ships of Tarshish we're going to read about, and all the enemies that surrounded Israel. When they came, they advanced together, they saw her, and they were astounded. And they fled in terror. There's terrorism right there for a different reason. Trembling seized them. There was pain like a woman in labor, and you destroyed them. The psalmist says, like the ships of Tarshish, this great, not just trading post and vessels, but these military navigating devices that show the strength of all human power. He said, the east wind came and you just shattered them. Wow. As we have heard, verse 8, not just heard, we have seen. What have you seen? In the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure. Her security, this fortitude, is not in the buildings, but in the one who blesses them and strengthens them. Within your temple, O God, verse 9, we meditate, and now he moves from power to love, the hesed, the unfailing, that loyal, faithful love of God. No matter what time changes, situation changes, God remains faithful, unfailing. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches, and now I like this missional emphasis, to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with what? With righteousness. Here's another characteristic of God. Mount Zion rejoices, the joy of the whole world, but particularly Mount Zion. Her villages, the villages of Judah, are glad. You know why? For your judgments. This righteousness is the basis from which God judges. He acts out truth in the midst of his people. Walk about Zion. The word literally is go check it out. You know, take a walk, look around. Walk around Zion. Go around her. Oh, by the way, count the many towers and consider her ramparts. View her citadels. All power structures right there. Why? Why does he want us to do this city-wide tour? Look at verse 13. The last part, he says, you do all this so that you can tell them. Tell whom? Zen, X, Y, Z. Tell the next generation. Well, what are you going to tell the next generation? Hey, for this God is our God. This God is described here belongs to us. We belong to him. How long? Forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death, even until the very, very end. Well, this morning, as we look at the certainty we have in Christ in changing times, I just want to leave you with three thoughts. No, it's not about health, wealth, and happiness. We're going to celebrate God's greatness in our service in this year because this God is our God. He belongs to us. We belong to Jesus, Christ our Lord. That should give us confidence and hope this morning. Beyond health, wealth, and happiness, people long for a sense of belonging in relationships. A lot of these New Year resolutions are not just transactional, they are deeply relational. Because relationships are important. You always hurt the one you love. And maybe there are times and situations where because of this broken relationship, you don't feel like you belong to that family. You don't belong to that church. You don't belong to the institution. You don't belong. There's a lack of the sense of belonging that we need. Secondly, I want to show you, this God is not only our God. This God is our God. He's our protector. There are a lot of symbols and images of literal strength and fortification in terms of towers and citadels and ramparts and all this stuff. But I want to show us that God is our, not only our identity, God is our security. I want to show us this morning, you and I may not have much of social security or financial security, but bless God, you can have eternal security because you know God. Where is our security? And the third thing I want to leave us today with is not only a sense of belonging in our identity in Christ, not only in terms of our security in Christ alone, but also I want to leave you with a strong sense that this God who's our God and our guide, our God who will protect us will also guide us throughout this year, 2018. Some of you may be very concerned about your health deteriorating or insurance or your finances or if you're a student, you know, am I going to really pay the bills or do I need to get another job? God will guide us because he is our great Jehovah. I want to show you that you can have a sense of providence. In Latin, the literal translation of providence, pro video, we get the word, is to see to it. God is going to see video beforehand, pro. God knows. And beforehand, he will see to it. You don't have to worry. 2018. So let's look at the first point. This God is our God. Several things in this psalm is appealing regarding the essence or attributes of God. His holiness, his beauty, his righteousness, his loving kindness. It's just pregnant with different truths about this great God. Also within that is all the things that this great God does for his people, Israel. Those surrounded by enemies, they can know this God. Did you see? It says, as you have heard, now you can actually not just hear, you can see God at work. You can experience God in a very intimate way. This God is our God. How do we know this God? Because God has made himself known. Christianity is the only faith with the revelation of God in a person. Jesus. How do you know God? One of my favorite verses, and I named our two daughters after that. No one has seen God, John 1:18, but the only begotten from the bosom of the Father, Jesus Christ. He has made God known to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt. He pitched his tent among us. We have seen God's Shekinah, God's glory. Where? In the face of Jesus, full of grace, charis, and truth, aletheia. Do we know God? The only way we know God is not through some program, but through a person, Jesus Christ. This association with Christ or revelation is purposeful. I agree with Karl Barth that revelation is relational. God reveals himself to us so that we can get to know him. And in this revelation, there is redemption. He wants to bring us back to himself as his children. And listen, as Pastor Nathan said in the beginning of this service, if we are broken, if you've lost a sense of belonging and you're in our church, to know this God, this revelation is not just in creation that declares his glory. It's not just in our conscience that says, oh, there is a God, I've got to behave myself. This revelation is in Christ. God shows us his redemptive love in Christ. But there is a subtle shift in this psalm, and I want to emphasize this in terms of relationships. You see, we can know about God, and God can also be dwelling in our midst in terms of the tabernacle or the temple or coming to church. But do we have a relationship with this God that keeps us faithful to him, just as he is faithful to us? Are we going to stay faithful to him? Because we are in Christ. The new identity that you and I have that gives us security is who we are in Jesus Christ. He is our hope of glory. You see, how do I know that? Listen, Jesus brings his disciples and he says, listen, I've got to leave you. 3 years, we left everything, our jobs, our security, our father and mother to follow Jesus. And then after this 3 years almost, you say, I'm going, bye. Or as they say at the university, see ya. What? And Jesus comforts them. You remember that in the upper room discourse. He says, let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah. Well, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. But till then, what do we do? Listen, I will ask the Father, and we will send you the Parakletos, the Comforter, the one who is called alongside. Literally, Parakaleo, to one called alongside. He will not only be with you, he will be where? Church? In you. Why? Because he will lead you into all truth. See the action? He will come to be not just with you, like he was in the Old Testament. He would be in all of you in the New Testament. Why? Because he will lead you to where we need to go. This is a tremendous understanding of who we are and our identity in Christ. No matter what changes, calendars and clock, Christ is unchanging. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where we find our identity, in the sense of belonging. You know, it's very interesting. I teach sometimes 500 to 700 students a day at Liberty with these two theology classes I have. And I've got three GAs, and they monitor the students who come to see me on Wednesdays. So they give them 15-minute slots. One of my GAs, I get confused. I don't know if she's working for me or I'm working for her. It just, you know, she just tells me what to do all the time. And these students have to come, and after 15 minutes, she give me the thumbs up or just walk by my office, which means next. And these students come, you know, they like professors or something. They think we know a lot, and they come and they're like, wow, Dr. Nyanakin, Dr. G, you know, PhD, permanent head damage. We're going to listen to this guy. And they're like, oh, you know, they're awed, and they're like, 15 minutes. I know your time is busy. I know you travel a lot. But I just, and they keep talking. As they're talking, this young lady walks in, doesn't ask my G, walks straight into my office and say, you got 20 bucks? And the students look at her like, who in the world? And by the way, give this to mom when you go on Thursday. Did you bring my, who do you think it is? Yeah, it's my daughter. Just walks right in. Hey, dad, 20 bucks. Are you kidding me? I'm in this official meeting here. I don't care. You belong to me. You're my dad. 20 bucks. And I'm like, you see, when you know God as Father, when we have a sense of belonging, we have access to his throne of grace to find help in our time of need. This is an amazing truth. Church, do you belong to Jesus? Because Jesus wants to belong to you, to give you access. That's where our identity is. This God is our God. The second thing I want to show you is not only this God is our God, this God is our God, a sense of security. Did you see that TV commercial? You're Baptist, you don't watch TV, but you know, there's this TV commercial. This guy coming, I think in the snow or something, he parks his car. He's got Domino's pizza. You see that? And then a big tree falls on this car. Did you know they're now selling insurance for pizza, Domino pizzas? Can you believe, has it come to that? Everywhere I go to Walmart to buy a toaster. At the counter, they, do you need insurance? You need guarantee insurance for a toaster? I mean, I take flights. And if you're not careful and you don't click a box, they charge you for insurance. The agent says, do you need, you need insurance? You have to have insurance, especially the places you go. Everybody's into insurance and security for pizzas. Now, there's something about security, about insurance. There is a surety in knowing this God. There is protection. Did you see those symbols of the fortresses and the towers and the citadels? What is this protection? Now here's the second subtle shift in the psalm. The first subtle shift I saw was the psalmist wants to move us from the gifts and benefits to the giver and the one who blesses us. The first shift. The second shift is in the area of protection and providence. He is not just celebrating the city with all its walls and fortification. He is shifting subtly but surely from the city of God to the God of the city. It's about God. God is her strength, her fortress, her stronghold. The reason why these people tremble and go is not because they see Jerusalem and like, whoa! They understand who they belong. The God who dwells in their midst is mighty. What are you worried about? What am I worried about? Anxiety, relationships change, health. This God is our God. He's got insurance. He'll protect us. He'll provide us. Jehovah Jireh. Now, Israel, in the ancient Near Eastern world, had several forms of protection. For example, there was natural protection. Psalm 125, verse 6. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem. I'm from India, and for years, India was protected. It's a peninsula, so three sides India was protected from the Arabian Sea, the Sea of Bengal, and the Indian Ocean. And of course, the Himalayas protected us from the rest of the world. So India had these natural fortifications, the seas and mountains. And the psalmist says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Listen, he doesn't stop there. So the Lord is round about his people. God surrounds you this morning. His presence, his Holy Spirit goes with you to protect and provide us. This God is not only our God, but because he's our God, he is our God. He is our security. You say, Dr. Chris, this is really nice. I'm comforted this morning. I'm glad you're speaking. But I have to go through those doors. I've got to meet some difficult people at work Monday morning. And there's a health situation that's not going to change after this message. I heard it's terminal. You say, what are you talking about? How can God be your stay, your protection? In many levels, God continues to be our God. I love the verse when it comes to being emotionally disturbed. You know, we read Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. But what is this peace? Where do we find this peace? Should I say, who is our peace? Who breaks down every wall? Who came this season to give peace on earth? Who said that he'll make us peacemakers? It's the Prince of Peace. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. And he says to them, this God of peace is going to give you something. And he calls it, Philippians 4 and verse 6, the peace of God. Philippians 4 and verse 6, the peace of God that passes all our understanding will what? You remember that verse? Will what? Keep, guard your hearts and your mind. Two places where you need peace, in your hearts, in your minds. You in church this morning and you lack that protection and peace, he is our peace. He will keep. The literal word in Greek is to garrison. It's a military word. The peace of God will march sentry duty around your heart and your mind in Christ, in Christos, our Lord. You say that's internal, but what about extra? Well, Jude, I love that definition. Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, isn't it? Verse 24. You know what it says? God is able to keep you from what? Falling, stumbling, and to present you faultless. One of the things that hurt me this season is that one or two of my students in their final year say they don't believe in God anymore. I guess they're educated beyond their intelligence. But you know, it bothers me. I said, you took apologetics and theology with me. And it bothered me. I said, Dorothy, am I doing something wrong? How can they say I don't believe in God anymore after this? You know what else bothers me that loses my peace and confidence? Christian leaders having affairs and divorce in the church. Bothers me. People lose their peace and say, you know what? I'm not interested in remarriage. That's it. Marriage does not work. I come from a country where my father picked my wife. Saved a lot of money in courtship. But you know, and you're thinking, what's going on? Relationship doesn't work. I'm quitting. I don't want this job. It's like the guy who got up in the morning and didn't want to go to church. His mother said, you got to go to church. He said, I don't want to go to the church. His mother says, but you got it. It's Sunday morning. So his mother said to him, give me two reasons why you don't want to go to church. He said, reason number one, I hate church. Reason number two, the whole church hates me. His mother said to him, I'll give you two reasons why you should go to church. Reason number one, you're 55 years old. Reason number two, you are the pastor of that church. You know, sometimes we get into situations where like, I don't want this. I don't have a sense of belonging. I don't have a sense of being secure. God will not only keep you internally, God will keep you from falling. You know, I love 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. I used to sing that hymn all the time. I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to what? Able to keep. Same word. Keep that which I have committed against him unto that day. This God is our God. This God is our God. He protects us no matter what happens. God is our strength and stay. Where's your insurance? Need insurance? You've got to have insurance. God can be that for us. I think of the human securities that we have and how we work around it. There were many, many times in church planting in South India and in these countries I travel. People worry about my security, my own family. My daughters wonder, you know, Dad, are you going to come back? What if you don't? Life is like that. But you're not depending on human strength and military protection. Oh, by the way, Titanic. Do you know what's the other name for Titanic? You know, 1912, Titanic. You know what the Titanic was called? It was called, say that again, unsinkable. The only thing it did was sink on its maiden voyage with 18 ballast tanks. That is human power. An iceberg. Where is your security? Is it sinkable or is it in an anchor of hope? Christ our Lord. Let me say to the third point, and I see a tremendous shift now, a shift that is subtle but sure, from the understanding of gifts from God to the giver of life. From this understanding of my security because it's the city of God to actually celebrating the God of the city. He's the God of the city. There is a third subtle shift. And you see this one, the greatness in the Hebrew word, from this gadol to the hesed. Moving from this whole situation that bothers me. 2 months ago, I stepped down from being the executive director for my organization called Outreach to Asian Nationals to focus to be the director for training in country in these. I love the nationals, especially since visa situations to India and other countries. And I mean, I'm not American. I have an Indian passport. So India is the big brother for Nepal and other countries, Bhutan. And said, I've got to do something for my people. And I found out in even Christian circles, in churchianity, there's this power struggle. I'm reading a book, How to Lead from Behind. Do you know, these leaders have this power struggle. They want to be in control. And this season, with my family, I had to reflect on that in my own life. You know, now I'm not the executive director. I don't make executive decisions anymore. But you know, it's really relieving. I have a new lease of life almost. I'm not in charge. But you know what? It gives me an opportunity to let God be in charge of me and others. It's hard for leaders to do that because of this power. So the third shift, that's subtle but sure that I see, there is a shift from this love for power to the power of love. And it's very obvious for me in the psalm. That when you see the greatness of God, you sooner than later gravitate into the goodness of God that leads to repentance, that celebrates the grace of God, which is sufficient for our every need. Do you see that? Not the love for power, but the power of His love. As you journey, do you have a guide? This psalm written to Israel is very interesting. Israel were a wandering people, isn't it? They wandered through the wilderness. Last year, this time, we were in Jerusalem, and before that, we were in Egypt doing some work. And we took a flight. Today, you know, you can take a flight from Tel Aviv, well, actually from Cairo to Tel Aviv within 4 hours. Isn't that interesting? Do you know how long it took the children of Israel to go from Egypt to Israel? You know how long? 40 years for a four-hour trip. Why? Because they did not have jumbo jets? No, they were disobedient. They did not follow the guide. That's me. I had to catch myself singing again that old hymn that the missionaries taught me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Israel were a wandering people, but did you know Christians wander? We wander with our eyes and purity. We wander with our mouth and what we say. We wander in our hearts and our affection, prone to wander. We need guidance. We need people to say, this is the way. But only one person can enable us to walk in it. People are all into counseling today. I need a counselor. And I encourage my leaders in the field, you need mentors. Some of them say, oh, but you're my mentor, Dr. G. I said, I will be your tormentor till you get a mentor. You need people to guide you. You're going cross-culturally. You need to depend on the nationals. Work out this mentoring relationship, peer mentoring. I'm big on mentoring now. But you know, we have a guide beyond these counselors who can, you know, give us tips and three ways to succeed. Peter wrote to Christians scattered all over Asia Minor in a letter we now call 1 Peter. You know what he calls Christians? He says, you are pilgrims and strangers in this land. The literal translation is aliens, part three. That's scary. You are aliens. I mentioned to you, it's very unusual, but the last month I was at home. And even when I traveled, I took my entire family with me. Spend time. I mean, my daughters are marriageable and there's some guys who are visiting our home more frequently than they should. And I'm beginning to carry guns. But you know, Dorothy says to me, Chris, you're winning the world. You don't want to lose your family. You got to be near them. Because they're at an age, they're not going to come and say, Daddy, help me. Daddy, do this. You got to be there. They need a man. And I understand how that works. And my daughters love the Lord, serve the Lord and all that stuff. But you know something? I often think of the church in relation to God and guidance. Do we go to God in prayer? We make these New Year's resolutions. We're going to go through the Bible. Does the Bible go through you? I'm going to pray for the nations. Yeah. Does prayer make you different for the nations? This God is our guide. You see, how is he going to guide us? You know, he guides us because he knows the way. Many claim Jeremiah 29 verse 11 as their life verse or the New Year's. You know what Jeremiah 29? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your well-being, for your future, to give you a hope. You remember that? Is that a verse? Or is that a person who is your guide? He guides us not only internally because he knows. He guides us because beyond knowing, he actually shows us the way. If we are walking in the Spirit, you will hear him say, this is the way, walk in it. Christians ought to be above reproach. Why? Because they are guided. Again, I'm reminded of that hymn. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this strange and foreign land. I like home. There are three words related to home. One is the word fugitive. You see fugitive? Okay, who's a fugitive? Someone who's running away from home. Fugitive, has no home. But there's the word stranger. You know who a stranger is? A stranger who's not at home. You know why? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. This world is our passage, not our possession. Christ is our possession. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Christ is our possession. There's aliens, there's fugitives, there's strangers, but you know what the Bible calls us? We are pilgrims. Why does Peter say you are pilgrims? Because we are heading to our Father's home. That's why we are pilgrims. For those of us who are worried and riddled with anxiety, you know why? Because we are living as if we're going to be here forever. And this world's not our home. No wonder we feel insecure and unstable. Christ is our home. I've been reading about St. Augustine's mother, Monica. St. Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo in North Africa, probably the most brilliant of the early church, well, Western church's theologians. He was an Afro-American, by the way. No, he was. But anyway, Augustine, I was reading about Monica. And St. Augustine was very worried about his mother, Monica, who influenced him a lot as she was growing older. And he wouldn't let her travel. And Monica said, Augustine, I can travel. She said, no, Mom, you can't travel. You're old. She said, but why are you afraid if I'm old? And St. Augustine said, I'm afraid because you may die away from home. Monica, that godly mom, turned to Augustine and said to him, obviously quoting Colossians 3 and verse 2, said, "Son, my life is hid with God in Christ, and I'm homed in God. I'm homed in God." Bad English, good theology. I am homed in God. And I'm sure with a twinkle in her eye, she looked at Augustine and said, "When you're homed in God, you can't die away from home." Is God our help in ages past? He's our hope for years to come. He's the shelter from every stormy blast. Why? Because he is our eternal home. Where is our trust, our security? Is it eternal? I've not been changing the slides, aren't I? Let me say this about this guide who not only knows, he will show you in 2018 how you should go your journey. We are pilgrims. Moses, I was reading about Moses, I'm in Exodus now. Moses in chapter 33 and verse 13, he gets so frustrated. Children of Israel, the armies of Egypt, mountains, Red Sea. And he stands there and he says, "Show me now your ways, Yahweh. Show me your way." Did God show Moses his ways? Yeah. You see, he delivered them across the Red Sea and all that, right? Horse and rider throat. Well, not really. Listen to Psalm 113, verse 12. "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." The children of Israel watched the acts. Moses knew the ways. Totally different. To put it in other words, the children of Israel saw what God did. Moses knew why God did what he did, because he knew who God was. He knew God face to face. I want to encourage you. This God is our God. This year, in the years to come, this God is our God. He will protect you. That's the only security you need. This God is our guide as we head home. Another chorus. I don't know why I'm thinking of so many songs this morning. I used to sing those missionary songs all the way. "My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here in him I find to dwell." Can you sing that? You homed in God. Then you can journey through life. Nothing to worry about. "My Father's ways may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished dreams may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way." There's so much in life I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim, but still I'll put my trust and leave it all to him. For soon the mist will slowly rise, and clear he all will make. Through all the way, though dark to me, God made not one mistake. We can trust him. God, our eternal home. Psalm 48, three questions as we go. The psalm moves from meditation or contemplation to celebration. The subtle shift from gifts to giver, the subtle shift from the city of God to the God of the city, the subtle shift from the power, from the love for power to the power of love, leads us from contemplation or meditation to celebration hey, listen, I'm a missionary, I must say this, to evangelization. Go and tell it now. You heard it, you know him, you can't keep it to yourself. Tell who? To the next generation. There is not only, as they say in missions, there is not only a synchronous missional view, that is, go to the ends of the earth. There's a diachronous. Throughout the ages, you and I need to pass on and tell people, tell our children, our neighbors, our friends. What do you want to tell them? This God is our God. He will be our guide because he will guard us even in death, through death, forever. I'm going to pray. You probably heard me for an hour, I think. I forgot the time. But let me pray. And maybe it's time this new year for you and me to rededicate ourselves to the God of the city, to the God of our souls, to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, to the Christ of the candlestick called the church. Is Jesus Lord? Maybe I should tell you this as we pray. You know, one of my favorite missionaries, apart from William Carey, I guess Hudson Taylor, is actually a missionary who was speared to death on the banks of the River Ecuador, trying to reach the Aka Indians. Who am I talking about? Jim Elliot. Do you know the last verse, the last record that Jim Elliot wrote in his personal diary? The last thing Jim Elliot wrote in his diary was Psalm 48, verse 14. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. That was the last thing he wrote in his personal diary before he was speared to death. Now, I'm not saying we should write it in diaries, but maybe we could make that a guiding verse throughout this year. This God is, do you belong to him? Where is your identity? He is our God. In whom is your security? Forever, he will guide us. Where exactly is your strength and your stronghold? Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you this morning for your goodness. And we pray that as we go through this year, 2018, that we will have the testimony that all the way our Savior leads us. We live in changing times. Thank you for an unchanging Christ. Christ who is with us. Christ who is the hope of glory. We pray that we will be found faithful, journeying with Jesus day by day until we are home. Thank you that we are homed in God because we are in Christ, in whose precious and powerful name we pray. Amen.